ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 5 टाइटल्ड द फाइनल इंस्ट्रक्शंस टू महाराज परीक्षित टेक्स्ट 3। न भविष्यसि भूत्वा त्वं पुत्र पौत्र आदि रूपवान् बीज अंकुर वत् देह आदेहे व्यतिरिक्तः यथा अनलः। न भविष्यसि भूत्वा त्वं पुत्र पौत्रादि रूपवान् बीजांकुरवद् देहादेर् व्यतिरिक्तो यथा नलः। न भविष्यसि, यू विल नॉट कम इन टू बीइंग, भूत्वा बिकमिंग, त्वं यू पुत्र ऑफ चिल्ड्रन पौत्र ग्रैंड चिल्ड्रन आदि एंड सो ऑन रूपवान अज्यूमिंग द फॉर्म्स बीज the seed, ankura, and the sprout, vat, like, deha adehe, from the material body, and its paraphernalia, vyatiriktaha, distinct, yatha, as, analaha, the fire, from the wood. Translation: you will not take birth again in the form of your sons and grandsons, like a sprout taking birth from a seed and then generating a new seed. Rather, you are entirely distinct from the material body and its paraphernalia in the same way that fire is distinct from its fuel. Purport: sometimes one dreams of being reborn as the son of one's son in the hope of perpetually remaining in the same material family. As stated in the Shruti Mantra, Pita Putrena Pitriman Yoni Yono, a father has a father in his son because he may take birth as his own grandson. The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is spiritual liberation and not the foolish prolonging of the illusion of bodily identification. This is clearly stated in this verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీ గురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాం సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. హియర్ ఆర్ ది పార్టింగ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ శుకదేవ్ మహారాజ్ టు కింగ్ పరీక్షిత్. And usually when parting instructions are given, one summarizes what one has already spoken before, including the very basic things. So the idea that we are the soul and not the body is the basic understanding not just of the Srimad Bhagavatam but of the Bhagavad Gita. And the Srimad Bhagavatam takes off from where the Bhagavad Gita ends. The ending of the Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. The process of complete surrender to Lord Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam begins from there, from the point of surrender, and takes the subject all the way up to the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly the gopis for Krishna. And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita takes off from there, specifically with the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being the mood of Srimati Radharani. So there is a gradual progression in the subject matter. But now, in this 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Shukadeva Goswami is winding up his teachings, he is reminding King Parikshit of a very, very basic point. Because even though we know it, we need to hear it again and again. We need to be reminded of the most fundamental things repeatedly. Because the nature of this world is we tend to forget. So therefore Srila Prabhupada also used to frequently keep repeating the same thing. You are not the body, you are the soul. And sometimes perhaps devotees would get a little disturbed, or they would get, not disturbed, but they would perhaps feel that, well, it's time you also heard something new. But everything about spiritual knowledge is ever new, because we need to hear it again and again. See, here Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning that you should become fearless, because you are not going to take birth again. You are separate from this material body, and therefore there is nothing that you have to fear. As far as the material body is concerned, it will continue to have its transformations from the time the child is in the womb till death and beyond. But the soul is beyond all these transformations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vasudev is in the chariot with Kamsa, and Kamsa is trying to kill his sister Devaki, that is Vasudev's wife, Vasudeva is trying to pacify Kamsa. And he tells him that along with the body, along with the birth of the body, death is born. Deha janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate. That when the body is born, death is also born. So death is born along with birth. In other words, when we are born, then death is certain, as the Bhagavad Gita says also. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janmam mritasya cha. So this is the nature of transformation of the material body, but the soul remains distinct from it. And here the example, a beautiful example of the seed is given. The seed sprouts, and then from the sprout comes a plant and then a tree, and then the tree again gives seeds, and the cycle repeats. In the same way, the living entity occupies one body and then gives birth to others, and then it continues. In this way, there is a constant cycle that goes on like this. And yet, we are something distinct from all the cycle that is going on. Speaking of the seed reminds me of one story from the Upanishads. I don't remember which Upanishad it is, but it's about one guru who is teaching his disciple in the Gurukul. And he wants to teach him about the self, about what the soul is. And he says, "Child, bring that seed here." There was a banyan tree. And he brings the seed of the banyan tree. And he says, "Now you cut it. You cut it with a knife." So he cuts it. It's a very tiny seed. And then he says, "Cut it again. And again. Now what do you see inside?" He said, "Nothing." He said, "It's not nothing. What you see inside is actually the finest essence of the seed, which is what is responsible for making this whole tree. In the same way, even though we don't see the soul, we can understand that it is the finest essence that lives within this body. And it's because of the presence of this finest essence that this body is able to function, and it acts like a seed to produce many, many other byproducts. So therefore, the spiritual living entity needs to be actually understood as a seed, as the ultimate seed of this material body. But even beyond this ultimate seed is Krishna. And there is no seed beyond Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Bijam mam sarva bhutanam." I am the generating seed of all existences. There is nothing higher than that. There is nothing more fundamental than Krishna. Gatir bharta prabhu sakshi nivasah sharanam suhrit prabhavah pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam. Again in the Gita, Krishna says, explaining his nature or his situation as a foundation of everything, he says he is the gati. Gati means the destination, ultimate destination for everyone. Bharta means the sustainer. Prabhu means the Lord. Sakshi means the witness of everything. Gati, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasaha. He is the residence or the resting place for every living entity and for everything. Sharanam. He is a refuge. Yes, he is the shelter, the refuge for everyone. Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit. Suhrit means the well-wisher, the ever-well-wishing friend of all. Prabhavaha, which means he is the origin of everything. Pralayaha, he is the destruction of everything. Sthanam, he is the basis, the sustainer of everything. Nidhanam, in him rests everything. And also he is the bijam, which is the seed. The inexhaustible seed, avyayam, he is imperishable. So Krishna is all these things. He is the ultimate seed. He is the sprout. He is the trunk. He is the fruit, the flower. He is everything of this material existence, because beyond Krishna there is nothing. There is nothing separate from and independent of Krishna. Krishna is all that exists. Even the individual living entity is but an expansion of Krishna's energy. So there is nothing beyond Krishna. Therefore he says, Bija Mam Sarvaputanam. I am the generating seed of all existences. Ultimately everything comes from him. Here in this verse we are specifically, an interesting point is made. Pita Putrena Pitriman Yoni Yono. A father has a father in his son because he may take birth as his own grandson. It happens. It happens sometimes. We hear about such stories in the scriptures, and also there are people in the last 50 years or so who have done research on past life memories, and they have come across many instances when someone has come back as his own grandson. And this happens especially when one is very attached to one's material family and one doesn't want to leave it, so one comes back as one's grandson. And in rare cases, when the grandson remembers he was a grandfather, it can be, I don't know what kind of identity crisis the child would have. Your father is your son. So what is it exactly? Is he your father? Is he your son? It's kind of mixed up. So better we don't remember our previous lives. The problems of one life are sufficient. We don't need to remember the problems of all our previous lives, and as it is, everyone is mixed up. And to have all the mix-ups of the previous lives coming in is rather a lot. And in any case, these things do happen. Prabhupada used to mention a story about, not exactly someone becoming a grandson, but how, because of attachment to one's material family, how, Hare Krishna, Purijan Prabhu, please accept my obeisances. I think you should be sitting here, Purijan Prabhu.
Everyone is sitting where they are supposed to be sitting.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada used to tell this story to indicate how attachment to one's particular material family can affect our future births. So one time there was a rich man, and he was really attached to his family. And he worked hard day and night to earn money and to provide all kinds of comforts and facilities to his family members. And eventually he was also caught in the grips of time and he had to die. And he was reborn as a son of a cobbler who lived across the street from his previous house. Of course, being a rich man, he had a huge mansion. And the cobbler across the street was a very poor man. And this rich man was born, reborn, as a cobbler's son. And then the cobbler's son remembered his previous life. And when he saw the sons from his former life moving around, perhaps getting into a car, some big car, and he went up to them and said, I'm your father, don't you remember? And you can well imagine the reaction of the sons. And Prabhupada said they drove him away quite rudely. Naturally, if anyone were to come up to you and say, I was your father in the previous life, you're not likely to take him seriously. So naturally they didn't take him seriously either and they drove him away. So this is the situation. You work hard for someone with so much attachment to provide them everything that they need, and then they drive you away with shoes. So this is the irony, or the unfortunate irony of the material situation, where the very people we work for, we live for and die for, they eventually go against us. There are many such picturesque analogies in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic scriptures about this situation. But we will not get into that. But suffice it to say here that Shukadeva Goswami is saying that you will not anymore have to go into the cycle of the seed, and then the seed generating another plant and so on and so forth. Coming back to the point of Krishna being the seed of all existences, the goal of our life is to actually understand this ultimate seed, that is Krishna. He doesn't have any seed. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Kavaranam Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vikraha. So he is the Adi, he is the seed or the source of everything. But he doesn't have any seed or any origin. He is the cause of all causes, he is the seed of all seeds, the ultimate seed of all existence. And it only appears that he has some origin. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a famous verse, Jayati Janinivaso Devaki Janmavado Yaduvar Parishat Svairdor Virasyanna Dharmam Sthirachara Vrijanaknaha Susmita Shri Mukhena Vrijapuravanitanam Vartayan Kamadevam. It's a very famous verse, commented a lot upon by our acharyas also, in which Krishna is described as a Jana Nivasa. Jana means people, Nivasa means to reside. So the word Jana Nivasa can be understood in a couple of ways. Jana Nivasa means one who descends amongst ordinary people and lives as if he is one amongst them. So when Krishna appeared in human society, many people thought that he was just an ordinary human being, or even if they thought he was an extraordinary human being, but still a human being, they were still wrong. And even today there are many people who are under this misconception. So Krishna, out of his transcendental sweet will and for his own purposes, descends amongst the human species and sometimes amongst other species as well, and performs his pastimes. So this is one meaning of the word Jananivasa. Another meaning of the word Jananivasa is the other way around, that others, everyone, all the Jana, all the living entities reside in him. And as we mentioned, quoting the Bhagavad Gita some time ago, he's Nivasaha Sharanam Suhrit. He is the refuge and the shelter and the resting place and the place of residence for all living entities. So he is Jana Nivasa. Jayati. So all glories to this Jana Nivasa. Devaki Janmavado. It is said the word Vada can have different meanings. It can mean an argument, it can mean a hypothesis, it can mean an opinion or a school of thought and so on. Or in this context what it means is that it is said that he is a son of Devaki. Or he is known as a son of Devaki. And the comment to that, the acharyas say that it is mentioned that he is known because he is not actually the son of Devaki. Because Krishna cannot be anybody's child from an ontological point of view, because Krishna is the source of everything. So a father or mother are one who take birth before the child, naturally. But who has taken birth before Krishna? Krishna is eternal, so Krishna doesn't have a father, Krishna doesn't have a mother. In fact, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, he is a father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, everything for everyone. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. So he is everything for everyone. And because he is everything for everyone, he also becomes their son. He likes to. So there are two perspectives. One is the perspective of ontology, where we understand the reality of something, and we understand Krishna as being the Supreme Lord, the origin of everything. And there is the other perspective of mellow, transcendental mellow or rasa. And Krishna doesn't like the ontological principle of him being God. So he prefers to be a cowherd boy. He prefers to be the son of Devaki and Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. He likes that. And this is his pastime. Srila Prabhupada in one purport explains this is what the word pastime means for Krishna. When Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinks of himself as a cowherd boy, such thinking, he says, is pastime. So, Krishna is not actually a cowherd boy, he is God. But then as God, he likes to think of himself like that, so he acts accordingly as a cowherd boy. So this is Krishna's pastime. So he is Devaki Janmavado. It is said that he is a cowherd, he is son of Mother Devaki. But whose son is actually is he? He is no one's son. Everyone is his son and daughter. Everything comes from him. Yaduvara Parishat Swayar Dorbhira Sinna Dharmam. He is the protector of the Yadu dynasty. And he destroys, he protects them from all fearful elements and inauspicious things. Sthirachara Vijinaknaha. And he also destroys everything that is inauspicious and sinful for all living entities, whether they be moving living entities or stationary ones. Susmita Shri Mukhena. And he always has a pleasing smile on his face. Vrajapura Banitanam Vartayan Kamadevam. Because of which the gopis of Vrindavan become excessively attracted even more and more. Similarly, King Kulashekhar in the Mukunda Mala Stotra also says like that. Jayati Jayati Devaki Nandana Sau. Jayati Jayati Krishna Vrishni Vansha Pradipaha. Jayati Jayati Megha Shyama Komalango. Jayati Jayati Prithvi Bharanasho Mukundaha. King Kulashekhar prays that all glories to the one who is known as the son of Mother Devaki, Devaki Nandana So. Jayati Jayati Vrishna, Krishna Vrishni Vansha Pradipaha. All glories to Krishna, who is the light of the Vrishni dynasty. Jayati Jayati Megha Shyamalah Komalango. All glories to Krishna, who has a complexion of a dark cloud and whose body is as soft as a lotus flower, Komalanga. Jayati Jayati Prithvi Bharanasho Mukundaha. All glories to that Krishna who destroys the burden of this earth and who is known as Mukunda because he bestows mukti or liberation to all living entities. So in this way King Kulashekhar is glorifying he who has no origin but prefers to act as if he has an origin. He prefers to act as if he has superiors, he has parents, he has elders, he has gurus, and then he performs these pastimes. But the fact of the matter is that he remains actually the generating seed for all existence, for everything that exists in this creation. So Shukadev Goswami is reminding Parikshit Maharaj about these points, because he has taken him through a very exciting and a fairly long journey of wonderful pastimes, starting from the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are right now in the 12th canto. He has gone through all the different topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the 10 topics, and now he is concluding. And he is reminding Parikshit Maharaj that now that we have gone through all this, don't forget the basics. The basic is you are not the body. You are the eternal spirit soul. And so don't be afraid of death. And actually that was the point at which the whole thing begins. Shukadeva Goswami's very first instructions to Parikshit Maharaja, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Chichata Bhayam. He says, for one who wants to be fearless at the point of death, because this fear of death is a very real fear that is there in the minds of most people. And he said, if you want to be fearless at death, then you have to hear about Shrotavya, you have to glorify Kirtitavya, you have to think about Smartavya. He who is Bhagavan, Ishvara, Hari, and who is the soul of all the souls, then you will be completely fearless. Just the other day I was in Nepal, I just came from Kathmandu, and the Gorkha soldiers there are very famous for being very brave. You must have heard Gorkhas. And they are taken in armies of various countries. And there was some slogan which I read about them. And they say that if you say you're not afraid to die, you're either lying or you're a Gorkha. So these Gorkha soldiers are legendary for their fearlessness in battle. And it is said that when they fight, in the old days, if even the bullets were exhausted, the rifles had the bayonets, they had knives at the end. And you would actually push that into the opponent's stomach. So they would take it first inside and then they would push it into the other man's bayonet. So they would not be afraid to take that. They knew they would die, but that's how they were. So that's how this quote came. So we can modify it slightly. And we can say, if you say you're not afraid to die, then you're either lying or you're a pure devotee of Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, yes? Because the pure devotee or the self-realized soul knows that I am not this body, I have nothing to do with this body. I am actually transcendental, I am eternal, I am a part and parcel of Krishna. This is all just a nightmare, it's a big dream. I am none of these things, I have nothing to do with this body. In fact, even the human being shouldn't be thinking like this according to Srimad Bhagavatam. What to speak of self-realized souls? Yasyatma buddhi kuna petri dhatuke swadhi kalatradishu bhoma ijyadihi yat tirtha buddhi salilena karhichich janesha bhigyeshu sa eva gokharaha. So the Bhagavatam mentions that one is not a human being, in fact one is like a cow or an ass, if one thinks of this body which is made of three elements, kapha, vata, pitta, bile, mucus and air, as oneself, if one thinks of things connected to one's body as one's own, like one's wife and family members and so on and so forth, swadhi kalatradishu bhoma ijyadihi, to think of some earthen image or one's land of birth as being worshipable because one has been born there. Yat tirtha buddhihi salilena karhichij janeshu abhigyeshu, to consider a holy place to be no more than just a reservoir of water or a river or something, but not to have any interest in holy people who are actually pure devotees of Krishna. to not want to hear, to not want to associate with them, to not want to serve them, but instead to simply go to some holy place for bathing in a river. So anyone who has that conception is not a human being. So nowadays we are so far removed from this conception that it might seem a little far-fetched to say that one is not a human being if one is not beyond the bodily conception of life. But we have to begin here, because we see the whole world is now laboring tremendously under this false conception. And the bodily conception is everywhere for us to see. And even in India, it's getting worse and worse. So it's nice to pay heed to Shukadev Goswami's final instructions. Even after we've been through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, been through Krishna Leela in Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura, and then Shukadev Goswami brings us back again to the basic point. You are not this body. You are the eternal spirit soul. So on this very humbling note, we will end this class. And I'd like to invite any comments or questions. Burijan Prabhu, would you like to offer some comments on this verse?
I actually participated in a program about family. Devotee, the first Chinese devotee came to see Prabhupada in the Prabhupada's room in 1974. He started by saying, the Chinese people by nature are very attached to their family. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada replied, this was the first meeting he ever had with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, it's natural. Even birds and dogs are attached to their families.
And now we have so many devotees in China. Yes. Thank you. Yes,
Mahatma. When you mentioned about the family attachment,
yes.
Srila Prabhupada, when you were in when you first time, but not years before, then one tree was coming through the window. So devotee just asked Prabhupada, so he said, this was the person who was owning this house, and now he's trying to enter the same house through the window. That is the attachment.
Yeah. Yes, there are numerous stories like this. I have heard numerous families also coming in and confidentially inquiring. An astrologer told us that our grandfather has been born as a son. Is it true? I said, I don't know. I cannot say. But these things are possible and they do happen. Yes, indeed they do happen. But one may not be always fortunate enough to be born as a human being in the same family. One may be born in the same family, but perhaps not as a human. Perhaps in some other species that's there somewhere in the house. That's also possible. Yes?
In Andhra, it's a common understanding that if a child is born within 1 year of a grandfather's departure, or the father's departure, and the grandmother's departure, typically the grandmother's
departure. Okay, you're saying that in Andhra Pradesh, it's a common idea that if a child is born within 1 year of the departure of the grandfather, then in all likelihood, it's the grandfather reborn. Perhaps it's of course, it doesn't necessarily have to be like that, but it could be. Yes?
I was born after.
So therefore, there is, you know, this is a new twist or a new purport to the saying, child is the father of man. So your child now becomes a father. I mean, the child is the father of man. So, I mean, the son's son is actually his father, yes? Aniruddha Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
In the Bible, Krishna says to Arjuna,
I know all the things you cannot. We get that indication that it's not possible for us to actually know our previous births.
Yes.
So how does that then fit with some of the evidence that we see with, you know, regression and past life memories? Is Krishna just referring, saying that to Arjuna and he can't remember, but others can?
Aniruddha Prabhu's question is that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he remembers everything past, present and future, but we do not. That is, the living entities do not. So how is it that some people remember their past lives, whether by hypnotic regression or by any other means? It's not that it's a blanket rule that no one can remember. We have examples like Jada Bharat remembering, and they are called Jati Smara. And Jati Smara means one who remembers his previous life by some arrangement of Krishna, for some reason. For certain personalities, it may be because they are very spiritually evolved, like Jada Bharat. And for some personalities, it may be because of some bad karma, because of which they have to remember the previous life and be all mixed up. Who am I? Am I that or am I this? And then you can just imagine. I actually met one gentleman like this. He attended a lecture I gave one time on Dehi Nosvin Yatha Dehe, when we were talking about the next life. This was many years ago. And then he came up and said, "You know, I found your lecture really boring." So I said, "Oh, I'm really sorry. I'll try to make it more interesting next time." So I said, no, I didn't mean it like that." He said, "You were trying to prove that there is reincarnation, there is next life, but I remember my previous life, so for me it's not something theoretical." And he was a very senior officer in the railways. He was a head of some very big post. And he was saying, "Normally I had a very sharp memory when I was a child. Now that I'm 56, he said, "I am. The memory has gone down, but still I remember very clearly. But," he said, "no one believes me, so I don't talk about it." So there are people like this, actually. Numerous examples. But we are better off without it. And there are many who may go to Bhrigu and some others to find out their past life, where they were. And many devotees also told me, "Yeah, you know, I was a Brahmin living on the Ganga last life." And, well, maybe, maybe not. And in many cases, yes, these Bhrigu and all that, they do say things very accurately, in many cases. But at the same time, how does it help us? How does it help us in our Krishna consciousness? I mean, we have to now look at the future. Whatever we were in the past, in this life or in previous lives, is gone. And now we have to create our future. We have to become pure devotees and go back to Godhead. So we don't need the baggage of the past. So we just go ahead. So whether we remember our previous lives or not, it's not very important for us now. But yes, in some cases it does happen. Some people do remember their previous lives. Yes, Mahatma Prabhu.
I know a girl, she was 10 years old and she could remember no Ramayana. You can ask Bhagavan, Sundar, anything, decide.
Yes.
If you tell her, and he was, she will start.
Yes.
And similarly, I met one gentleman, I visited one family in Vrindavan, and his grandson, he could pronounce his Sanskrit verses so nicely, Bhagavatam. So many verses. This is
in childhood, yes, because these things come carry forward from previous lives, samskaras. Correct, yes.
Maharaj, is there a stage in the bhakti process where one realizes the self before realizing Bhagavan, a prema stage?
Is there a stage where one realizes the self before realizing Bhagavan? Well, you know, Prabhupada gives an interesting explanation. about self-realization and God-realization. He says, when you look at yourself in the mirror, then before you see yourself, you see the sun. In other words, the sunlight. Because without the sunlight, you can't see yourself. Right? So, Krishna Surya Sama. So, Krishna, if you think of Krishna like the sun and the self, the soul, so God realization and self realization go together. So, complete self realization means you must have God realization. So, the two go together. You can't separate the two. Because if you say, I am the soul, but then where does the soul come from? But I am part and parcel of Krishna. So God realization and self realization, they go together. When you realize Krishna, you also realize yourself. It's included. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna.
That is true in terms of realizing Bhagavan, you realize automatically the self.
Yes.
But can there be a state where one realizes self and then realizes Bhagavan?
Well, there are those who are transcendentalists who don't follow the path of devotion. They may be the Brahmavadis, they may be the Ashtanga Yogis, and they may try to realize a self without having a complete understanding of the Absolute Truth. So they are called, they have reached the Brahmabhuta stage when they have some understanding or realization of their identity as spiritual beings beyond this body, but they don't have complete conception of the Absolute Truth. Their understanding is incomplete. Yeah. Would you like to add something, Purujan Prabhu, to this?
No.
Okay. Yes.
You said that somebody remembering their past life could be a karma. Can you give a point where it is mentioned that remembering past life is a karma?
The question is that, is there some kind of basis for saying that remembering past life is karma? Well, everything that happens is karma, isn't it? Everything that happens to us or doesn't happen to us is a result of karma. I mean, from an ordinary mundane point of view, keeping aside devotional service, but many of these people who remember the previous lives are not devotees. They're just ordinary people. So, remembering something, someone's level of intelligence, someone's level of memory, someone's every aspect of our life, we are what we are because of what we were and what we did. So in that sense we can understand it's something about some subtle aspect of karma because of which he is able to remember previous life. It's not necessarily a good thing, as I mentioned. But it certainly depends on something you've done in the past. For some strange reason this memory is given to this person. Okay, it's 8:30, so we should end here. I'm very, very happy to be here in Radha Vallabha temple. It's such a beautiful temple, very nice, tastefully done up, and wonderful community of devotees. It's really a pleasure to be here. And I feel very honored that I could speak a few words about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.